You're watching Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani, sporting my new head look, I suppose. But this is 2022, and we need to understand a little bit more about how automation can be done better, particularly when we look at artificial intelligence, coding and no coding. When it comes to emotion, that is something that needs to be looked at quite seriously moving forward. Companies big and small needs to automate and optimize their business solutions. But how do you do that using emotions? How do you do that with a little bit more human touch to it without getting too much humans touching it? That's the, I guess, delicate soft spot that we need to talk about. So joining us is Ravi Saraogi, the co-founder and president of Unifor APAC. We just want to explore some ideas with Ravi in terms of how we can marry the whole idea of putting emotions into AI. Ravi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing today?
Fantastic. I guess going bald is not often seen by many of my colleagues. So here at the studio, they're getting used to my new haircut. But other than that, yeah, it's always interesting to see how companies try to optimize and try to bring forward the kind of lessons and learnings from the pandemic. One thing is for sure, things are never going to be the same again, not least because they are adopting and adapting to digitization, but trying to automate and using AI to bring about better solutions for their customers. We've seen how companies big and small like Huawei, Apple and the likes are indeed full throttle in terms of using AI, but now we're looking at other enterprises doing the same. So maybe you can talk to us into how AI is being developed right now, particularly when it comes to, you know, using that human touch or emotions that might not necessarily be coded into how the AI program is being written.
Certainly, Ibrahim. So first of all, thank you for having me on your show. Really good talking to you today. When we talk about AI, Ibrahim, it's important to understand that AI on its own is the right tool to go forward with. But at the same time, as an organization, when you are delivering some services or products to your end customers, you need to also provide a human touch attached to it. And when conversations take place, especially when there is some sort of an issue, some sort of a problem, some sort of a challenge that an end consumer is facing, and they try to resolve that by reaching out to this enterprise through a contact center or through new age automated tools like chatbots, et cetera, it's important to understand what the exact problem is, but also bring in a human touch to it, right? And that's where a combination of human as well as an AI assistance, if can come together, can bring in a lot of pedigree. In my opinion, the right AI solution can actually help organizations build their cognitive capabilities and provide a framework to what the organization can achieve in years to come. In the broad sense of things, in my opinion, AI can help business improve efficiency across multiple different categories. Some of them would be process automation, implementing AI technologies like robotic process automation to automate physical and digital tasks, thereby reducing cost and improve efficiency. Second, insights and analysis, integrating ML-based applications, machine learning-based applications across multiple functions, such as identifying customer purchase habits, personalizing communication, looking at their collections pattern, et cetera, can really improve the business metrics. But most importantly is the customer experience. As a consumer, if I am not delivered the right experience by enterprise, today I have multiple choices as a consumer to go to. I can switch from one bank to another in a GIF. I can switch from one telco provider to another one. I can move from one insurance provider to another one if I'm not getting the right experience. So deliver superior customer experience at scale would be additional benefits that AI and automation can bring together. And these are some of the areas we believe that the organization should really focus on.
So I have a chat with a few board members over the past few days, and some of the management as well of some Malaysian GLCs here in Malaysia, in KL. They know what needs to be done, like delivering supreme customer experience, optimizing the kind of relationship that they can have with their customers or clients. They understand the need of it, but when I ask them, these kind of business leaders, how do you go about doing it in your firm? They have no idea, and they admit that they have no idea. particularly when it comes to, you know, what does it mean to them to have great customer experience. So I was having, you know, because it was a, what do you call this, iftar or breaking of fast, you know, so we kind of chat for quite some time before. I mean, we can only eat at a certain time, right? So that whole 1 hour, very hungry, you know, looking at each other. But it's so problematic, this business question, I suppose, because the same question I asked to five people, I get five vastly different answers. And they all looked at each other. They're very surprised at each other's answers.
Yep.
So we're a long way from solving this question. Is this something that you see often among your clients?
So I would say it goes back to the same thought process that people had in the late 90s, right? Where internet was just coming into being, early 90s, I'm sorry. Where internet was just coming into being and people thought that, you know, it is just a fad, it'll go away. And people had limited idea on how it can transform the world, and look at where we are today. Similarly, AI is in a not very different zone. People know, fortunately, that this is going to play a big role, but they don't know exactly how they are going to use it to their own benefit, and then thereby bringing in a positive change within their own operations and as a whole in the society. And that's where we do see some of those challenges as a common occurrence across some of our enterprise customers. So the way to think about it, Ibrahim, is one, not look short term, right? Look long term. Where do you see as an organization heading into the market 3 years from now or 5 years from now? Because that's when AI will bring in a lot of considerable change. So you define what you see yourself being in the next 3 to 5 years timeframe, and then work backwards. Now, one of the most important elements and that we constantly discuss is that there are multiple different pillars today that an organization runs on. There is a core finance system. There is a CRM solution. There is an ERP solution in place. Now, apart from these core pillars that you would have, what really goes missing is a core communication platform, right? Where all the communications either within the organization or outside can be put in place. That's where you can run a lot of AI together. And that's what we intend to bring to the table as a fourth pillar, right? Across the organization today, there are a lot of conversations happening between an individual and a potential employee, between two existing employees of an organization, talking about new upcoming plans, between an enterprise customer contact center agent and the end customer. There are tons of conversations happening. Where do all of this sit together and you can really infer and improve on your business practice? And that's what we bring to the table as an organization. So the way that we think we should solve for it is first deploy something as we call as an analytics solution, which really helps us understand who is talking what and how we can infer that communication, then bring in a lot of AI enablement into it to really automate those conversations. There can be mundane, simple conversations like what is my account balance to when is my insurance premium due date, or how much balance do I have in my account? These are simple, mundane questions that people may have, or people may have tricky questions like, I see a potential fraud in my account. Can you please block my credit card and ship a new one? And that's where you need a human-assisted support to be provided as well. So it is important for organizations to understand that you cannot go full hog at one go. It has to be deployed in phases. And the thing with AI is that the more you process data through those systems, the better it becomes. The more it learns, the more it improves. And your ability to really service your customers constantly improves through that motion. So go in phases, deploy with one solution, then enable the second, then enable the third. But most importantly, look at a platform-based approach where one single platform can really enable multiple such things together for you. Because going forward, you may not want to involve 10 different vendors doing 10 different things, and then you struggle to bring everything together. Ideally, it should be one single platform, where you start with understanding the conversation, to automating the conversation, to generating insights from those conversations, to really actionizing those conversations.
Right. We'll go for one short break. When we come back, we'll discuss a little bit more with Ravi of Unifor. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me on the line Ravi Saraogi, the co-founder and president of Unifor APAC. Ravi, talk to us a little bit more about Unifor. What solutions do you bring to the market, and why do you intend to bring these kind of solutions that you feel is kind of needed by the market?
So Unifor today, Ibrahim, brings in a full power of conversational AI for large enterprises across the globe, with our own conversational automation platform. And across our platform today, we have capability to listen and understand each and every conversation that is happening between the end consumer and the contact center agent, and really then bring in automation towards that. So starting from what we call as a use self-serve capability, which really is a self-service bot, can run on voice, can run on chat, to a real-time agent assist, which is a real-time AI coach sitting along with a human agent as the call is happening and really guiding the agent to execute the conversation in the right way, bringing in benefits like compliance, soft skills, improvement in customer experience, and additional cross-sell, upsell business benefits to what we call as a U-Assist after call, where entire call summarization can take place, where you can save a lot of time and effort executed by agents on the call, to a post-call 100% automation on quality management of the contact center by listening in each and every call through the platform, and also looking at voice of the customer. And across all this, there is a lot of amalgamation of RPA capabilities and emotion understanding of the consumers through the platform.
Because of this, do you feel that what you're providing, the solution that you're providing, is something that not only large enterprises can benefit, but perhaps even medium-sized enterprises, even small enterprises? What's your thought on small companies trying to improve or optimize their business using AI or ML?
No, absolutely. Any organization today which has a customer touchpoint, especially through a contact center, large or small, third-party or captive, can have the benefit of the platform, absolutely. When I talk about large enterprises, that's where you see the biggest bang for the buck, but it does not stop any medium or small enterprise to go ahead and deploy it as well. As long as there are elements where tasks can be automated through a self-service bot application or through a real-time agent assist application, but any organization today which has a contact center practice can go ahead and utilize our products.
There's also that whole idea of industries that might benefit. Where do you think this would benefit the most? Is it manufacturing? Is it services? If it's services, what kind of services that would benefit most? Or is it more of, you know, consumer-facing companies? You know, the kind of ideas that you can share with us so that you know, business owners or business managers watching us right now can kind of have a feel into how they can see the solutions they need for their companies.
Well, there are multiple different verticals that today Unifor is operating on. Globally, today we serve more than 150 large enterprises, which cuts across multiple different verticals. But if I specifically look into, let's say, Malaysia as a market, some of the foremost organizations that can really make use of our products are likes of financial services, which includes insurance as well, and AI-based functions such as credit scoring, dynamic pricing, digital marketing content with digital savvy customers who are open to interacting online can make use of our products. Telecom is another vertical where a lot of insights and analytics can be generated to predict customer churn, cross-sell, upsell opportunities, and additional sell that one can possibly have through the contact center operations. Then we talk about transportation and logistics, for example, which is again getting back into shape in a post-COVID era with with organizations in the automobile space or in aviation space like Malaysia Airlines, etc., can really make use of our products in their existing contact center platform. Apart from that, Ibrahim, new age unicorns, and we are dealing with quite a lot of them over our engagements in edtech space, in healthcare space, in fintech space, which today are working with Unifor as well. Overall, what we believe, Ibrahim, is Unifor's product has the capability to not only bring in efficiency into the existing setup that an enterprise may have, and within those elements, bring in the bottom line benefit and the top line benefit, both together. At the same time, really figuring out how do we convert a typical cost center, like a contact center, into a profit center going forward as well.
Okay, one more break before we conclude our conversation with Ravi. Welcome back. I have with me on the line Ravi Saraogi, the co-founder and president of Unifor APAC. Ravi, the whole idea of firms or enterprises using ML/AI is to bring about efficiency for the customers. But internally, particularly when we talk about how they manage internal stakeholders, internal customers and suppliers, and optimizing manufacturing processes, for instance, logistical supplies, is also quite important. This is, of course, to improve business transformation from within. Do you feel that this is an area that not many enterprises think about? It's always, try to think about how they can service their customers more efficiently rather than try to improve business processes internally. That, of course, will translate to serving the customers better, but it's essentially, it's also able to reduce cost and reduce turnaround time, those kind of items. What do you think about this?
Absolutely. So one of the reports that was shared by McKinsey, right, it says that 50% of the work time in Malaysia is spent on repetitive activities that are highly automatable, right?
Can you say that again? What activities?
50% of the work time that Malaysia is spending today are spent on repetitive activities.
Repetitive.
Yeah. And that are highly automatable. As I told, things like, if a person asks what is my account balance, you don't need to go to a contact center executive to share with you what is your account balance. These are some of the areas where AI can automate routine tasks, augment employee capabilities. Now, the idea is that if you have a call center agent, how can we make that call center agent as a super agent? And one of the ways to do it is enable them with a live AI coach, which can sit on their screen and guide them how to take forward the conversation, and let them allow more time to focus on and stimulate higher value-adding work and value-added conversation with their customers. With increased automation, AI can potentially today create 6 million new jobs by 2030 in Malaysia alone. And this is the future of work that will create new needs for skills, long-term learning, and nearly every part of the workforce will get transformed in the coming years. Now, to your question, these are some of the things that organizations will need to focus on to really upskill and reskill their workforce going forward. And if organizations don't take a look into that, then someone else will do it and they will win the race. And that's where we believe that automation platforms, AI-enabled automation platforms, can go a long way to not only support existing employees in executing their tasks better and bring in efficiency within the organization, but also can go a long way to really upskill and reskill the existing workforce as well. Imagine a situation, Ibrahim, if there is a life coach next to you all the time and guiding you how to take that conversation going forward. As a human brain, it has a capability to get itself skilled by going through the same practices again and again, right? Mm. And that's how some of those things can be really enabled. But as I say, right, digital transformation and AI are important drivers for the global economy. It is important to remember that the end goal of technology is to uplift human communities, created better work opportunities rather than replace roles. And any new intervention that takes place, the first thought process and belief is that what will happen to the workforce, but eventually it actually ends up creating more for the society. And this report certainly suggests that there are 6 million new jobs that are going to open up by 2030 in Malaysia alone.
My final question to you is this. When it comes to investing into this, how do you think companies should think about adjusting their CAPEX, apportion their OPEX into items like this? Is it also about talent management? I'm pretty sure many companies do not have the necessary talents to actually make this work for them. How do you see business managers arrange or plan for optimizing their businesses through AI and ML, particularly when we talk about those folks that know how to inculcate emotion into coding for AI?
So, Ibrahim, a couple of quick points there. One, I think the world is moving towards more and more of cloud, and that will also sweep it across even in Malaysia, which basically means that as CFOs of the organization, one has to look into the overall strategies again, because things will move from a CapEx-based expenditure to more and more OpEx-based expenditure. You will constantly have solutions which will be pay on a pay-as-you-go model. You only pay for what you consume, and you don't need to pay for the full hog at one go, which in the hindsight can also work beautifully for organizations because they will be able to see the return on investments very, very quickly. In a typical CapEx-based expenditure, the expectation is that the ROI can be achieved in 15 to 18 months. Well, in an OPEX-based pay-as-you-go model, which is deployed on a cloud environment, completely secure cloud environment, an ROI can be generated in 3 to 4 months because you're only paying for what you're consuming. And those are some of the things that the CFOs of some of these organizations will have to think through. On the talent, absolutely. I think the new mechanisms of training and talent has to be looked at in a very different way. You cannot have one size fits for all kind of a strategy. Different people will have different kind of skill set requirement, upskilling requirement, reskilling requirement. And that's where some of the AI-based tools can really explain and update who needs what kind of training going forward. And you can have niche skills being developed within the workforce. And some of those things today we do extensively for a contact center workforce where hundreds and thousands of people are sitting together and taking up calls day in, day out, but not all of them are good in handling soft skills, while some of them may be good in handling objection handling, some of them may be good in handling overall end-to-end calls, some of them may be good in managing the compliances of the call, but not everyone is good in everything. And that's where we can identify where things are not working out and then impart very specific training requirements to those existing employees. So both of them have to constantly change the finance organization and the talent organization going forward.
Thank you, Ravi. It has been a pleasure speaking to you. I'm pretty sure that some companies are already onto this, but I'm again not sure if the objectives set about by these companies something that is aligned with what, say, for instance, practitioners like you are thinking about. I honestly don't think so. You know why? Because the kind of questions that I ask is similar to everyone, and the kind of answers that I get is so vastly different. So you're right. You pointed out to the age of early internet in the early 90s. It was a bit strange. People were still trying to find their way across. But what I do know is this, eventually companies will know what to do and they will optimize their businesses. But to get to that stage, I don't know whether they can get there before the turning point is done. Because if they do sleep on the wheel, it's basically over for them. Economies are opening up, Malaysian economy is opening up, Southeast Asian economy is opening up. If they kind of miss that boat, I don't know whether they can come back and get back that kind of customers that they've lost to their competitors who are a little bit quicker in terms of knowing what they want from ML and AI solutioning. But that was all the time that we have with Ravi Saraogi, the co-founder and president of Unifor APEC. If you want to find out more, just go to their website at Unifor. Also, find out more on astroawani.com. Look for Notepad, look for Unifor as well. Until then, thanks very much for watching. Catch you in the next one.
around.